Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Today, John chapter 4, Unstoppable Reach. I love the reason when you begin to read this story in John chapter 4. I'm just going to teach for a few minutes because it's just a quick couple thoughts, but I believe they have meaning to our life. I love the reason why Jesus decides to go to Samaria. When you begin to read this chapter, it's just amazing why Jesus went out of his normal path, or the path of most Jewish people during that time, and he decided to kind of have a detour to go into Samaria. And the reason why is simply he knew that there was someone there to reach. He wanted to reach the forgotten, because many of those that were in that area were just forgotten by the mainstream religious outreach. And so they were just ones that were kind of by the side of the road. And Jesus went there not only to reach the forgotten, but to harvest other people that mattered to him and mattered to his Father. Some of you know this story. Some of you don't know this story. I'll tell it a little bit. John chapter 4, Jesus is with his disciples. So he begins to head to Galilee. He's in this area and he's going to another meeting, another area. And so he decides to go through Samaria, which was mostly off limits to the religious. But he decides to go that way, which would seem odd or strange to his followers. When he gets there, he finds a well. A well was a place of meeting. A well was normally the center of town. I know many of the campuses that we've done overseas, and a lot of the campuses that we do overseas, a lot of times on that church campus site, we put a well because it's a drawing point. It's a watering hole, and many of the community just naturally will come to that because it's clean water. So that's happening during this. Jesus goes to this well. He's thirsty. His disciples go on into town or go search for some food. They've been traveling and they're hungry. How many of us, when you travel, sometimes you just like the snack? I like to snack when I travel. So they're snacking. They're going to find some Red Hots, going to find some Pringles, going to go find a Mountain Dew and things like that. Jesus stays by the well. And while he's by the well, there are women there. That's normally what happens. The women would go and get the water. The men would be out in the fields and the women would go get water. They would have conversation. Kids would be there and all this would go on. And then they would take care of the home. And so Jesus is there. A woman walks up. Jesus is all knowing. He knows exactly what's happening. He asks this woman for a drink of water. And she begins the dialogue about, why are you talking to me? And don't you know what's going on in this place? And you're a Jewish person. You're devout. We're Samaritans. And there's this reason why there should not be this reaching out or this conversation. Well, they begin this conversation. They start talking about where you worship and what goes on here. It gets religious and different things are going on. Jesus finally looks and says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask for living water. Because what I can give you will solve the aching in your soul. And it kind of stuns her. And then he comes back and says, matter of fact, where's your husband? She's like, what you talking about? Because she didn't have a husband. She's had several husbands. Now she's living with someone. But Jesus discerns that. He knows what's happening in her heart. He just nails it. And she changes the subject again. And out of that dialogue, she just realizes that she's before the Messiah. She's talking to the one who cares about her. She's talking to the one who has the answers. She leaves her water pot and she runs into town and Jesus is there. So she runs into town to go find everybody because she can't believe that she's met this one who's told her about her life. And she now senses salvation. She runs it. Then the disciples show up. Sounds like a cool thing. We'll pick up in verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then Jesus leaving her water pot, the woman went back to the town and said to the woman, come and see, come and see. See, she had met the one. Look what the Bible says. I have met the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? See, you know what I love about this? It's like she's been new born. She's like a new birth. It's like she's had this fresh start, this revelation that there's truth and there's life and there's liberty and there's freedom. So what's the first thing she does? She cries out. What's a newborn baby do? They cry. I mean, babies cry. And that's what I love about new believers. Someone who comes to know Christ, they just want to tell everybody about Jesus. I mean, I remember telling people about Christ when I first came to know the Lord. I didn't even hardly even know him. And I was telling people about Jesus. Went out witnessing, and some people would ask me a question. I was like, I hadn't got to that yet. I'm still in Matthew. They would want to debate and argue and ask me some question about how many angels could sit on a pinhead and what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know, but if you don't accept Jesus, you go to hell, fry like an egg, my brother. Can't answer none of that. She just cries out, come and see the one. I found hope. I found freedom. And I love what takes place here. It says in verse 30, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Some other scripture says after that, meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. You need something to eat. I mean, they're slamming down some Subway. They're knocking down a pickle. I mean, they're getting some barbecue chips. They're looking at Jesus and says, you need to eat something. I know you're hungry, man. It's been a couple hours. We haven't snacked, but so you need to eat food. But he said to them, I have food. I have food to eat. They're probably looking at each other like, you didn't share with us. What you got, like a snack pack? You got some sunflower seeds? Why don't you tell us about that honey bun? He says, I have food to eat. I've got plenty to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Man, we had to go find some. Somebody brought Jesus an apple pie. Didn't even know it. He must have had food we didn't even know about. Somebody brought him a lunch pail. And then Jesus says this. This is so cool. My food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He says, boys, you understand something. I'm not hungry anymore. And the reason why I'm not hungry is because I have experienced a full course meal revival. I mean, I have super valued it. I mean, I've just brought it to another level here. You don't understand. Man, I've had a full course meal. I've seen revival in a young lady that was lost. I've experienced a refreshment when somebody's found truth. I've been renewed on the inside. And the reason why I've experienced revival and refreshment and I've been renewed is because of a result of reaching out to someone. Can I have a better amen? I'm full because I was reaching out. And while I was reaching out, God Almighty filled me up with purpose and fulfillment. It's the same with us. Too often we are not fulfilled because all we are doing is filling self. You feel self. Fill up self. Live for self. Do everything for self. And if all you're doing is feeling self all the time, then guess what? You will live starving. That's why you can run into people who have stuff but are not fulfilled. You run into somebody who's got a better car than you. You got an old broke down car. They got a fine car, got rims, got a stereo. You just play an AM. Go to somebody got a nice house, see somebody's got great clothes on, but yet on the inside, they are anemic. Why? Because if all they're doing is feeling self, you will live a life of starvation. Jesus says, the reason why I'm full is because I've been giving out. I've been reaching out. And I'm so full I can't move. How many of us, I mean, you go, we went to this restaurant, Texas Day Brazil. Them Brazilians can eat. I mean, bring meat to the table. Big old salad bar. Just carving the meat. And you turn your little thing over on green. They keep bringing the meat. You put it on red, they hold up. So you just eat till you ill. I wonder how many people have ever eaten in there and said, I'm so full. Somebody roll me to the car. Somebody bring the car around. It's like Thanksgiving, Christmas. You just eat. You just come on, get another piece of pie. If I eat one more thing, I'm going to pop. Full. Jesus says, I am so full. And the reason why I'm full is because I'm reaching out. That's why the biggest and the healthiest thing we can do as a church is to be a church that calls for high commitment to reach out. To give opportunities to get outside of self. To give, to serve, to reach, and to build. If it's just a place that says, let's just settle in, be all about us, feed me, feed me, feed me. Guess what? We will live empty, empty, empty. Why? Because self is a bottomless pit. You can't fill it up. That's why marriages that begin to turn inward. And in a marriage, if you start wanting, you know, make me happy, make me happy, make me happy. Guess what? That'll never go away. You don't find fulfillment in the marriage trying to make me happy. You find fulfillment in the marriage being like Christ to the other person. That's why we want our children not to be selfish. Why? Because if they're always selfish, they're never going to be able to function healthy with other people. What are we trying to teach our children? Share. Play well together. Let somebody else have a turn. Because if you don't let somebody else have a turn, you will play all by yourself. And it's the same way in life. So why is it we are called out to reach? Why is it we are called out to serve, to be a part, to sacrifice, to give up a little bit? Because that's where we really find fulfillment. They looked around. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus says, look what's happening. He says this in verse 35. He says, do not say 4 months more and the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, for they are ripe with harvest. His disciples are there. He says, I'm so full. I mean, God, there's just so, he sent me to do his work. My food is to do the will of the Father. And then he looks at his disciples and says, matter of fact, look across the field. What's happening across the field? The whole city is being emptied out into that little well. And the Samaritans are coming down that hill, and they just look like little harvest moments, harvest people coming across that field. And Jesus uses that illustration. Look across the field. Look, it's harvest time. Let's not worry about them barbecue chips. Let's put the pork rinds aside. We got people to reach. We got people all around us. Look, they're coming this way. They're trying to figure out, is there anything other than what they just see in life? See, the Samaritans have been ignored. They have been forgotten. But you know what? The forgotten sometimes are very ripe. I think about all the people who visit here. Can I tell you this? People who visit church are usually ripe. They came to church. That's a good indication. I mean, 1,800 guest cards have been filled out since we've moved into this facility. That's ripe. How about this? Over 460 kindergartens. Age have been in our children's kindergarten class since we've moved into this building. Over 460. That's bigger than most schools. Over 460 kindergarten age children have been visiting. How many of us? That takes a lot of love. That takes a lot of volunteer workers. But I would say, look, the field is ripe under harvest. I can't find anybody to win to Christ. Nobody's interested in the Lord. I would say, look at the field. It is ripe unto harvest. Over 360 second graders since we've opened this facility have visited this church or been in our class. 360 second graders. How sensitive that heart is. How open a second grader is to know about the Lord. To be open to God's word. Open to the love of God. Where could we find a better harvest time? And I think about that. 360 second graders. That's a life worth living. I just give my life to them. That's a life worth living. Just saying, I'm going to make a difference in those over 400 something kindergarten students. I want to pour my life in those kindergarten students who show up at church. So obviously they're ripe. I want to pour my life into them. right here in front of us at our Dream Center. Look all around. The field that we're gleaming in is ripe. I can tell you this, church, I believe the harvest is ready. We just got to go out and pick it. I love what Proverbs 11:30 says. It's a great scripture. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Need more wisdom in your life? Win more people to Christ. Need more wisdom in your workplace? Need more wisdom in figuring out how to raise these kids? Need more wisdom in figuring out how to work this deal out? How to solve all these financial problems? I'm here to tell you that the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. There's wisdom in reaching out to other people. You say, well, Dean, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for any of that. Heaven is so far away. I got my own problems. Man, I got to mow my grass. I got to put gas in my car. You know how hard it is to go put gas in my car at night? Do you know it's like the weed eat my yard? I got to weed eat my yard. I mean, I gotta do stuff like that. I gotta take the kids. I gotta take the kids to the gym. I gotta take the kids somewhere. I got my own schedule. I got my own life. I got my own issues. Can I tell you, all that stuff is good. But if that's all you're giving your energy to, you will never be fulfilled. Because fullness is not in all the intake. Fullness is in the giving out. That's where you find fullness of life. It's like our heart. If all our heart did was to is receive, 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 you would have congestive heart failure. Your heart receives, it pumps in, it pumps out. It pumps in, it pumps out. If it only pumps in, pumps in, pumps in, and never pumps out, I will see you at Raven Horse Funeral Home. For real, that's how it works. But your heart is a muscle that receives and gives. Our heart is never meant to be a reservoir where we only it only holds the blood. It only holds the food. It's meant to receive it and give it out. Why? Our heart is a river. Our heart is a channel. It receives and it gives out. It's like a church. If a church, all we do is receive, 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 we'll have heart failure. As a believer, if all we do is receive, receive, it's me, it's me, it's me. Guess what? We'll have heart failure. So we give out, we give out. We receive, we give out. We receive, we give out. I found that sometimes that the most blessed, happiest times of my life is when I am pouring out of my life. And some of the most miserable times of my life is when I am all about D-I-N-O. For truth. For reals. I came to Christ because somebody had an idea, and I'll finish with this, to do an outreach. I mean, I had a friend in school that told me a little bit about the Lord. I'd gone to church a little bit. But I never had really been confronted with the gospel. And I've told the story a lot. But there's a church had an idea. Said, man, we're doing some cool things, but why don't we do some outreach? And this was 28 years ago. 28 years ago, the church had an idea. A little country town, a little rural town. Tabor City, North Carolina. Ain't nothing there but pickle farms. For real, you grow pickles there. And they just a little tiny church, about 70 people said, let's do an outreach. We're tired of just hanging out here. Let's go to the beach. A lot of heathens at the beach. So the guy told me, he said, a lot of heathens at the beach, man. Only one person said, I'll go. They built a cross. He took a cross and rolled it out around the beach. Did it for weeks. Gave out little pamphlets, little tracts, little gospel tracts. Stopped by me, talked to me one day. I was so embarrassed. He was talking about Jesus and people all around me. But he looked at me in my eye, and I'll never forget when he looked at me and said, do you know where you'll spend eternity? Because God loves you. He cares about you. It just stuck with me. I mean, it was like Velcro. He handed me a little gospel tract that a church paid for. I didn't pay for it. Some church in Tabor City, North Carolina bought that piece of paper. I took it home, put it beside my bed. 2 weeks later, out of being out one night at a place I had no business being, looked around and thought, this is not what I want to turn into. I don't want to be 40 like these men that are half that are twice my age. And this is all there is? This is what you do when you grow old? Hang out in these places? And I went home and I knelt down beside my bed and took a little sheet of paper that I didn't pay for, that someone else gave out of. They gave. Somebody else said it's worth making. Somebody else said it's worth going. And I read a prayer on the back of a sheet of paper. That's how I came to Christ. It wasn't in a church. Nobody led me to the Lord. Someone gave out. They gave out of their wallet. They gave out of their time. They gave out of their talent. And I came and crossed the line of faith on June the 21st, 1982. How can I not look on the fields and say they're ripe with harvest? I want to encourage you, pour your life out. You'll find fulfillment in Jesus. Hold on to your life. You will lose it. You will live and die with starvation. Can I have a good amen?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.